This podcast is produced and distributed by Biz Radio Asheville. To receive the free Biz Radio app, just text the word Asheville to 36260. That's Asheville to 36260. With the app, you can easily enjoy this program and other local programming podcasts on demand.
Are you a realtor, lender, or property owner? Lancaster Law Firm has you covered. While based in Western North Carolina, their three convenient locations have performed thousands of successful, smooth real estate closings throughout the state. Let them de-stress the real estate process with effective communication and service-based practice. For more information, contact Lancaster Law at 828-505-8514 or email realestate@lancasterlawfirm.com. Again, that's 828-505-8514. Experience and simplicity you can depend on.
Hi, I'm Ryan Marshall with eXp Realty. If you're looking to buy or sell a home, ask yourself, who knows WNC? I know WNC, or I know the right person to help you achieve your real estate goals. Remember, when you think who knows WNC, think Ryan knows WNC. Type that into an email followed with an @gmail and bam, we're connected. And if I can't help you with your real estate needs, I won't stop till I find someone who can. Hey, if you're an agent and you want to learn more about eXp, hit that email up too. Ryan knows WNC at Gmail. Hello and welcome to The Real Deal. This is Asheville's Real Estate Radio. It's a peek behind the curtain on some agent collaboration, and we're going to give you the inside scoop on the industry today. I am Ryan Marshall. Here hosting the show, I've got a fantastic guest lined up, agent extraordinaire, longtime friend of the show, actually. He was on one of our earliest episodes. Andrew, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Hey, Ryan, how's it going?
Good.
Good. Thanks for having me today.
Of course.
So I was born in the area and raised here. And then my background professionally is basically construction. And then back in 2016, I got my real estate license, and here I am today.
Yeah, and this is Andrew Casoria of Nest Realty, formerly with KW. I think it's interesting that you have a background in construction, because the first deal I ever did with you, being on the other side of it, was actually a rehab loan, which was actually the first and only rehab loan I've ever gone through. So there was some extra hoops and jumps, and you were very helpful with that along the way, of course, having some of the construction insight there. What are you seeing right now as far as the market goes? It's getting a little bit crazy out there. I was looking at some of the numbers, and I had them pulled up here. I think a good fact is that the last week, it shows that we actually pulled more listings than last year that week. So more homes came on the market, but as a whole, the inventory is still cut in half that are available.
I've never seen it this low. I mean, right now there's only in Buncombe County, all of Buncombe County, which is a pretty spread out county, there's only 410 single family homes available.
Yeah, that is an incredible. I mean, I don't even know if seller's market is the word for it. I don't know if they have a title for it. So today we'd like to go over with you. I brought Andrew on the show to maybe pick his brain. You know, what are the pros of it? Of course, there's going to be some cons, especially for buyers out there, but probably not too many cons for sellers. Is there anything you can think of that sellers should take note of?
Right now they're kind of sitting in the driver's seat. There's a lot of times where we have multiple offers, especially in some of the lower price points. So at this point, they're able to kind of pick and choose the offer, that they feel best fits what they've got going on. I mean, if they're, they can pick their closing time, whether it's cash. I mean, if you got several offers, there could be one that's cash, there could be a couple that have financing. So there's not a lot of, buyers are really forgiving, especially like with things like condition. Because there's just not a lot out there.
It's funny that you bring up cash, and I've actually, from a seller's side, had a cash contract going on. And typically you know, you don't have to worry as much about an appraisal. Mm-hmm. There's just less things to get in the way. So that old saying, cash is king, can very well rings true. Often, you know, if you're in a multiple offer situation, people will gravitate towards the cash. Well, this was the first time that I actually had a little bit of a moment where I was like, man, I wish this wasn't a cash deal. Because at the last minute walkthrough, there was some adjustments that they wanted made. Mm-hmm. And they were, because it was a cash deal, they were kind of able to hold off on that. Whereas and kind of negotiate like right at the finish line. Whereas with I felt like had it been a lending partner in on that, they would have pushed to go ahead and say, well, let's get it signed. You can work it out, you know, because there's more of a window
right
going on there. So just to point that out, everything. I guess what I'm saying is everything has an up and a down to both sides of it. Have you seen, I tell you what, I feel like I've seen more of, first off, I think there's that glass window of home pricing, I think has just been shattered. For instance, you know, a 2-bedroom, 1-bath home in Oakley that's 1,000 square feet or less, typically, because it's got 1 bathroom, 1,000 square feet, it would have kind of capped out at that, you know, $250,000 mark. Nothing special about it, you know, not a huge lot, you know, just kind of that standard older home there. But now it's shot past that, even up into the 300s. And I feel like some agents are almost purposely wanting to get that bidding war started. So, you know, a year ago, a home could be priced very competitively and you went up into a multiple offer situation. And you may have went, you know, $5,000 over to win. Whereas now people are throwing offers out, you know, $15,000 over, $20,000 over. Do you think that there's agents out there that are intentionally listing it like well below actual value in order to kind of get that the bidding war mentality, almost like auction style?
I mean, you know, you could give that option to a seller. In this market, I mean, in my opinion, I would take advantage of being able to get the most money. What one thing I've really noticed was when, you know, some buyers are turned off by the bidding war. You know, they don't want to be a part of there's four or five offers on this mm-hmm. house. You know, a lot of them just. So you do have to be careful where that's concerned. That can be one thing that actually sellers need to look out for is buyers just saying, I'll wait till either something comes back in the market or I'll look at properties that maybe been on for a little bit longer. I have seen that happen.
Yeah. So what tips do you have for buyers if they're just getting started? You know, maybe they got their pre-approval letter last week and they're working with an agent already. And they're of course scrolling through homes on their own too, seeing what their agent's sending them. What are some expectations that you feel like you should set or maybe any tips to help them out?
Well, definitely, you know, if you're looking at homes, if you're looking at any homes if it's on 24 hours, you better be ready to, you know, make an offer if it's something that meets your criteria, checks your boxes. You definitely need to have proof of funds or a pre-qualification letter. I mean, you got to be ready to jump. You know, the other thing is, you know, before you even get to that point, I think it's good to be obviously pre-approved or have your game plan where finances are concerned. Finding an agent that's available that is able to show you these properties. I mean, on certain price points, these homes are going really quickly. And if it's priced correctly, you know, really anywhere in Buncombe County, but a lot of the markets are similar. Even like Henderson County, we have like less than a month's supply of inventory in Henderson County. And then with Buncombe County, it's somewhere around a 1 month supply. Of course, that's all price points. I just think that having an agent that's available, a full-time agent, is important, especially with the way the market is and the things are just going very quickly.
Yeah, well, I feel like it makes these types of markets are as an agent can be really fun to work in. You know, really fast paced business is good. Why complain about that? But it can be very stressful for agents out there too, because like you said, you kind of have to be on call 24/7. You know, you get that call at 8 o'clock at night where they have interest in a home. You got to go ahead and pull that thing up, see if you can get that scheduled for the next day. Because like you said, it goes fast. I mean, nothing feels worse than having your client point out something they're interested in, only to come back to them a little too late, having it already been under contract. Have you had that happen to you before?
Absolutely. We try to be preemptive where that's concerned, you know, have agents in our firm, or maybe, you know, even ask your agent, hey, you know, do you have a showing assistant available if you're not, or do you have a partner? Like I've got a partner on my team, Ryan. And so if I'm not available, a lot of times she is. So that's, I mean, that can go a really long way. Then you're less likely to miss out in this market with everything moving so quickly.
Yeah, I've actually told clients that wanted to schedule it, well, let's go, you know, Tuesday. And they didn't have the availability. I'll shoot out there and make a video, do a video chat with them. If I can get out there the next day, even before they're able to, because like you said, if you see something and it's priced right, that thing is gonna scoot right on into contract.
That's exactly right. And that's really smart, Ryan, going maybe do a, maybe even if you FaceTime them. I mean, some of these clients are out of town. They've got to make plans to get here, you know, especially with COVID, that's difficult traveling. And so that's smart. Maybe, you know, go in, do a walkthrough, a video walkthrough, shoot that over, make sure that is something they want to see. Cause next Tuesday, it may not be here.
Yeah. Well, do you have any, or have you had recently any people looking to trade up or down, where you've been trying to balance a listing with their future purchase? It seems like the market right now, like you said, with waiting for pre-approvals, if they need that home proceeds to move into their next home, it seems like that could be a very challenging predicament to be in.
There's definitely a risk with a domino effect. You know, nobody really wants to have to move twice, right? A lot of sellers, some sellers will, you know, they're like, well, we'll sell and then we'll select the house we want to move into. We can rent for a little while or stay with family, but not everybody can do that. And it's difficult to move twice. You know, if you can thread that needle and have your due diligence periods, your investigation periods and your closing dates line up, it can be done. I'm sure you're the same way. We've been doing that for years. It's difficult. It's stressful. But sometimes that's the option that you're presented with.
Yeah. Yeah. And it just, you know, you could make you feel kind of bad for somebody, especially when you get into the multiple offer situations and you know, you've got this need to sell, you know, it makes your offer, you know, a little less attractive, but they fall in love with a home. And I guess I'm just pointing all that out because it's just many of the little moving parts in the market right now that to me seem to make the job a little higher stress. And I'm pointing that out too for you. I mean, because you're cool as a cucumber, apparently, because you've also made a jump from one firm to another firm, which can be even more stressful on top of the market and where it's going. Tell us the Andrew Kasoria secret to minimizing stress.
I pray a lot. How about that?
That works.
it is difficult. But I think it'd be even more difficult if I was trying to do this with something else. You know, if I still had my hand in construction, you know, I think being full time and being able to really focus all your attention on this one thing. I think that's in your client's best interest. And so I don't know about staying cool as a cucumber all the time, but I certainly try to as much as I can, and you know, and not always be tied to the outcome. I mean, a lot of things, you know, just like that, the deal you and I did, that home that we got your clients into, there were some real nuances there too. So it was, you know, you've got to navigate through it. And if something doesn't work out, you can't be tied to that. You just have to kind of roll with it.
Yeah. Well, and I tell, that is one thing that I do try to set the expectation with my clients up front, is that, you know, there's a chance we'll lose out on a few before you get one. And you just have to tell yourself, maybe that one wasn't meant to be, because you don't, you know, you don't know it. You could have dodged a bullet.
Exactly. That's so right.
Well, we're going to shoot off on a break here real quick. When we come back, though, we're going to get into a little bit more about what's created this market push, this low inventory, a couple more tricks of how to deal with it. And I've also got a prediction that might make some people angry. So I'm Ryan Marshall. This is The Real Deal here with Andrew Gasoria with Nest Realty. Stay with us. We'll be right back. A little agent insight on life, markets, and the pursuit of property today. I am Ryan Marshall, here as always, and I have a great guest with me today who's going over some of the market indicators and tips to navigate it, Mr. Andrew Gasoria with Nest Realty, formerly of Keller Williams, which brings me to something I just want to touch on a little bit. Nest, Andrew, it seems like I'm seeing a lot of signs for it. And I got to say, as far as a real estate name, Nest has a good ring to it. You know, I think it's brilliant marketing.
It really is. The name is cool. I mean, because it bird nest, it's a home. And that's what we sell. And, you know, Nest started in Charlottesville, Virginia, and has been just growing to where, you know, we've got an office on Merriman Avenue in Asheville. And we've got about 44, 45 agents, something like that. And it's just great. Their marketing is incredible. Their support, the team there at that firm is just really, you know, like-minded individuals. And it's just been great so far. I've been there since November, basically November 13th.
I can't believe you didn't call and talk to me before you went to a new firm.
I know.
Next time. But hey, that just should remind everybody out there listening that, you know, you got to stay top of mind with folks, whether it be other agents you're working with, or, you know, agents out there you think your friends are going to remember you. You gotta remember to touch base with them. I should have been calling Andrew and saying, like, hey buddy, why don't you come on over, join me, but I missed out on that one. So but it's all good. I'm glad to know things are doing well for you over there, Andrew. I think you're just set up in a great spot. Seems like you've got a good partner in crime there to handle all the obstacles as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's, yeah, Jolie Singletary and I are a team at Nest. It's the Andrew and Jolie team. And I think that goes a long way with people, to be able to have another agent on your team that can do everything you can do. And, you know, if one of us is busy with the kiddos, then the other one can go show homes. Or if I've got a listing appointment, she can go show homes. So it's really been great, and I think it's really helped our clients be able to get the full use of a real estate agent that's in their corner and fighting to get them those houses that are have several offers on them already.
The more hands on deck, the better. Speaking of the market, I've been told by several people that you know, at first I was hearing 8%, you know, the market's going to continue to increase, you know, an 8% rise in home sales. Lately, I've been hearing 10%, you know, just the other day, somebody's like, yeah, it's expected to home pricing to increase 10% year over year. I think last year it was actually quite a big jump. I had that number in front of me. It looks like around 17%, depending on if you're looking at median or average. So at the Asheville area is outperforming the market as far as the state market goes, I would say. I haven't pulled all the numbers, but whatever they're basing the averages on some of the numbers I'm looking at, it seems to be doing really solid. What do you think is some of the driving force behind the Asheville market?
Well, a lot of it has, this was a really popular place to move anyway, very desirable in the mountains and the climate, and people just love it. And that's even, you know, before COVID hit and, you know, people are trying to get out of the bigger cities. I mean, they're coming here in droves, and they're, you know, so that's going to be driving the prices up because there's a lot of demand, right? Supply and demand. There's not a lot of supply right now. So, and I do see that. I mean, even in a couple of months, prices are continuing to go up. Home sale prices are continuing to go up because, right, you know, the average price points right now is around $425,000 in Buncombe County. $425,000 is the average price point. And the average price of what's pending, which there's 613 homes that are pending under contract, probably going to close if they don't fall apart. And the average price of those pending, $481,000. So,
so
the average
pending
price is $480,000. So even in a couple months when those close out, you know, that gap between $425,000 and the $481,000. So the trajectory is that home prices are still continuing to go up.
Yeah, and you had a fascinating fact that you dropped on us on the break, and I don't know if you want to share it on air, but I wonder how it compares to other markets. But what was the percentage of home sales that are cash deals in the area?
Well, in the last year in Buncombe County, there was 4,091 sales, home sales, and 915 of those were cash. So,
yeah, that's just wild. Yeah, that tells me that there's a lot of, usually to me, what that jumps out at me and says, there's a lot of people relocating here. They've already sold their place in, you know, California, New York, Florida, and they're coming here with the cash from that sale.
That's right. Yeah, I've got a couple of clients that have come from, like you said, California, and they sold their, you know, $550,000 condo there, and are buying a pretty decent house here in Arden.
Yeah,
happening all the time, and they're renting. So, you know, they'll be renting here. They already left California. Everything's, you know, either closed out or getting ready to close out there, their home or condo there. And so, yeah, they're renting, and then they're just kind of waiting for the right thing to hit the market or something, and then they're ready to pull the trigger. So that's a good position to be in, I think.
Yeah, well, and I actually think, you know, you mentioned rent. I think it is one of the driving factors that's actually increasing the rent here in the area. I know I'd spoken with Matt Matan last week on his show, just dropped in on it, and it was discussing the way that Asheville rent is outperforming as far as increases of average rent than the rest of the state. You know, we're up there as number one for pushing our rent up, which, you know, is good for some and makes it tough on others. You know, everybody has this rosy outlook on the market for the next year. And I would say what to me jumps out, what to look for, and this is what I might get some hate mail about. and I don't want to get too political, but I don't want to go down that rabbit hole, but only as it pertains to the market is one of the driving factors that makes has the market doing well is the interest rate. As we're passing these stimulus packages in the tune of trillions of dollars, it could cause some inflation. A lot of people out there say a little inflation is good, which yes, it is. But if inflation happens to get out of control, spending gets too much on a government level, the way you combat inflation is with the interest rates. And, you know, you can go back and look at the interest rates of the late 70s and the inflation that happened under the Carter administration, and then the interest rates that came along with that inflation to kind of beat it back down. So I'm not saying it's going to happen, but I think that's one of the things to look for. If you start to see that interest rate tick up some, it might be an indicator that that is going to, you know, level out the pricing, or maybe even bring down home pricing. Because honestly, a home can only be priced at what someone can afford on a monthly payment. You know, I could be wrong with all the cash buyers out there. What are your thoughts on that?
I couldn't agree more. I mean, and that's usually what happens, you know, because we have these ebb and flows, and so the market's cyclical, and little even very small micro increments with the Feds and the interest rate has a big impact on the economy, and it definitely will have an impact on home prices. But I'm not sure how long. I mean, I don't have a crystal ball, but I feel like probably the next 12 months are going to be telling of what's to come.
Yeah, well, and I still think there's still plenty of time to get in while the getting's good. But to say all that, like you said, about not having a crystal ball, if you are out there and you're thinking about listing a home, selling your home, whether you're thinking about trading up or downsizing, then definitely, I would go ahead and act, because it is a great time to do it. You can reach out to Andrew here, reach out to me. We're happy to go over it in more detail in person. I try to stay away from being too salesy, but now is a great time. Andrew, what do you think's going to happen? As I feel like a lot more people, the downsizing was a huge trend, tiny homes, but now that people have been stuck in their home for a year, are you seeing people want to move up as opposed to down? Are you seeing?
Absolutely. I mean, absolutely. And not necessarily. I mean, that's like a lot of the people coming from New York. I mean, I don't know if you noticed, but a lot of people coming from New York, they're leaving their, you know, 700 or 800 square foot apartment there and moving into a 2,000 square foot home here, because if they're going to get locked down again, God forbid, but it's not going to be in a little flat in New York. So I've definitely noticed that. Yeah, they're coming here and they're wanting to upsize versus downsize, which we've been seeing for the last several years.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's also one of the things I'm looking for, now that we've got off on this, in the next year, a possible negative to kind of keep your eye out for as an indicator of where the market's going to go. I'm going to actually look to bring on somebody in the commercial section to kind of go over this on a later show. So listeners, stay tuned. But as these people move out of the bigger cities, I think your commercial real estate is going to take a hit as far as landlords that own some of these, you know, huge high rises in larger cities. And then even in small town USA, people working remotely, and you're already seeing big box stores closing down. So if we end up in a commercial real estate crisis, much like we were in the housing crisis 10 years ago, I wonder how much of that will actually affect the regular housing market. Do you think that, you know, as commercial real estate becomes more volatile because of working from home and these other things, do you think that will affect the regular housing market?
I do. I mean, it may be okay for the residential market, but I do think, I honestly think retail space is, you know, at least retail space, but commercial side of that has already taken a hit. I don't know if you've noticed. I mean, there's lots of businesses that have closed that are commercial spaces, that are selling, you know, retail or clothing or, World of Clothing in Hendersonville is getting ready to close down. And that's been a staple here for a long time. And I think that it's definitely has to do with what you're talking about, for sure.
Well, I would love to see some of this people come in, kind of the way they're doing over at the Innsbruck Mall. And I don't know the final plans over that. I should know more about it. But some of these retail spaces, because you do have the housing demand, come in and do some more of the mixed use things where you can still have some retail space, but maybe you can make it affordable retail space, you know, due to the condos or apartments that are there too. So mom and pop stores can have a little spot to put a coffee shop in that's low overhead enough to where they could just make a decent living servicing the people right there in the immediate area. So, I mean, that's where I'm hoping the trend kind of goes. To hop off, unless you have any parting words on that, to hop off of the commercial train, back to the housing market, what would you say is the most important first step if a listener's out there thinking to themselves, wow, I want to take advantage of this hot market. I own this home. I've been in it for 5-10 years, or maybe I inherited it and I have no idea. What do I do? What's my first step?
The first step is to call me or call you. And that's the first step, is to find out what it's worth, because what it was worth 2 months ago may not be what it's worth now. I would say if you're ready, you know, it's hard to time the market. And people always ask me, you know, when's a good time to sell? And it's not ever really a good or bad time. It's only good or bad if it's good or bad for you. If it's a good time for you to sell, then it's a great time to sell, especially now, because you can take advantage of the market and the prices that are continuing to go up.
True. Yeah, you could definitely take advantage of the low interest rates as well. But finding a place to move into could be tough too. So it's a balancing act. Stay with us. We're going to take a quick break. I am Ryan Marshall. This is The Real Deal here with Andrew Kasoria, and we'll be right back. Welcome back. This is The Real Deal, and this is the radio which makes this Asheville's Real Estate Radio. I am Ryan Marshall, here with a fantastic friend of the show, reoccurring, repeating guest. I don't know, there's a better word for that, but Andrew Kasoria. I get a little tongue twisted sometimes. And we're talking about the market, and it's an extreme seller's market because inventory is less than half that of what inventory was last year, and sales are, you know, what, 10% higher than they were last year, which is creating this huge competitive market. I've been rambling all show. I was reminded during the break that we said we would give out some tips, so we're going to start this segment off with those tips. Andrew, if you're out there, you find a home you love, you've got your agent, you want to make an offer. Your agent might not think, they may be so focused on price, but there's some other things that can go into making your offer attractive to think about. And what are those other items that are a part of a contract that can help you win the deal?
You know, it's like we always talk about, you know, your highest offer is not always your best offer. I mean, the best thing to do is to have your agent, ask your agent to find out what's important for the seller, you know, because if you're going in there and this seller's going to have two or three offers, you want to find out what's important to them so that your offer looks more attractive. Things like, you know, maybe they don't want to close in a month. They need more time than that. So find out when they would like to close. Maybe it's 60 days and that could work out for you too. You know, they may be worried that the deal could fall apart during the inspection period. But, you know, if you're serious about the home, you know, put more non-refundable due diligence money down. That goes a long way with people, because if it shows you're serious about the property, you're willing to put enough money down to where if you did back out during the inspection period, the seller will retain that due diligence fee, as we call it. So, you know, and if you have more due diligence fee, you know what they want for their closing, their closing date, you know, your offer is going to look a little more attractive than somebody that's going in there kind of blind.
Yeah, and I've actually got with that due diligence, it's, to me, it's because it's cash in hand right now. So you, your offer might be $5,000 less, but twice as much due diligence, and that's cash that that seller can go ahead and access and use. And so, yes, it still goes towards the closing of the home. But I mean, let's face it, the old saying of one in the hand's worth two in the bush, depending on what they're going through, maybe they need a little bit extra cash right then. So that can definitely help make it desirable. I also had a deal this year where, because the market's the way it is, the seller loved the fact that we gave them seller possession after closing, because, you know, my clients weren't in a hurry or didn't have a time schedule to get into the home, and that gave that seller all the time they needed to find their home to move into. And because they had already closed on the home, they had that cash to do the home shopping, and we were able to get a fantastic deal because we were able to work that out.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, that's a great way to make your offer more attractive, especially, you know, that if that's what they're wanting to do. There's not a lot of people that may take them up on the seller possession after close, and you know, so if you're able to, and you know that that's what they're wanting, I mean, that's going to make your offer stand out way more than anybody else's. I think another thing, Ryan, is that the days of getting a deal in this market, I think, are slim to none. And especially homes that have just been on the market for a very short amount of even hours or a couple of days. I wouldn't tell my clients to expect that they're going to get a deal necessarily. I mean, if there's four or five buyers that are interested in this specific property that's getting ready to make an offer, I mean, we're seeing homes go, you know, quite a considerable amount over asking price and over a listing price. And I just, there's not a lot of wiggle room when you have the market the way it is.
Yeah. So go ahead and bring, I agree with you completely on that. And I tell my clients the same thing. Let's go ahead and bring our best offer forward. If it does get into a multiple offer situation and they do opt to call for a highest and best, which is where a seller will get three or four offers and then basically counter back all of them, hey, I want everybody's best offer by noon. It's okay if you've already put forth your best offer. You can, in fact, just put forth the same offer again. So don't hold back, to me, when you're going after a home if it's something you like. You know, you can also sweeten the deal up. Well, you know, that's my highest and best offer, but I could throw a little bit more money in on the due diligence. So there's a lot of different ways you can, if you still want to sweeten it a little bit, if there is that second call for it. And if you're feeling confused about this whole conversation, reach out to me or Andrew. We can definitely help you out. Andrew, how can they get a hold of you?
So they can call my personal cell phone, 828-776-9377, or they can go to andrewcasoria.com as well, and that'll pull up my our website, the Andrew and Jolie team website.
Yeah, and Google's great. If y'all know of a real estate agent and you're like, man, I don't know how to get a hold of him, if you put into a search bar their name, Realtor Asheville, it pretty much pulls up a way to get a hold of them. So anybody out there who's listened to the show later is like, Andrew, what was it? Nest? If you type in Andrew Nest Realty Asheville, you'll find the man. Andrew, you've had some success with winning contracts by finding some personal ties too. Maybe having the buyer write a letter, you know, of why they like the home that can be shared with the seller.
Yes, I mean, I've certainly represented sellers that chose to pick a certain offer based on seeing a personalized letter from the buyer.
Yeah, and some agents, I think, are more hesitant to share those. You know, it's kind of at their discretion. So if you have a buyer and they want to write a letter to the seller of why they like the house or tell them their family story, I have run into selling agents who kind of shy away from wanting to share those personal things. But I've also had some that won. You know, I've had them come back and actually asked for pictures, even, which is crazy. So it's there's a lot of little tweaks, a lot of little things that you can do. You know, earlier when we mentioned we're talking about seller possession after closing, some people might be confused. Basically, what that is it's where you purchase the home, but then you rent it back to that seller on a monthly rental or a daily rental to allow them time to get their stuff and move on. And you can set limits to it. So you basically become a little bit of a landlord for a moment. It helps you cover those your additional mortgage if you're paying rent at your current place. So a lot of little tricks. What else do you have for them, Andrew?
You know, I mean, just basically we can recap on what we talked about. So I think it's important to, you know, work with a full-time agent that's ready to be able to show you homes, or has a showing assistant or a partner, you know, to be able to show homes pretty much at the drop of a hat. Be pre-approved or have your funds ready to go, because almost all sellers are going to ask for that to be submitted with your offer, right? The pre-qualification letter.
Oh yeah.
More due diligence money down. That'll make your offer more attractive. Go in with your highest offer, and if they come back and say, hey, we're asking for highest and best by tomorrow at 5 p.m., then you can always say, well, this is our highest and best, and it stands. And so, I think all these things, the seller possession after close is a big deal as well. So there's a lot of ways that you can be the winning offerer in a multiple offer situation.
Yeah, well, and also – work with an agent that's going to sell you on that deal. Like you were saying, that seller may not even be thinking about a seller possession after closing, but you know, it's something that your seller can bring up to their listing agent and say, like, hey, how would they like to be able to take their time, you know, to get out of here? And they may say, oh, let me find out. And it could turn everything into your favor for sure.
That's right. Yeah.
Andrew, we're going to bring you back on the show at a later date, get into some more, because I know you had some good numbers for me we talked about, and we didn't even share them out there. But, of course, you can find our podcast if you're sad we're leaving. You can find it on the Biz Radio app. For that, just text the word Asheville to 36260. Again, Asheville to 36260. Or you can listen to us wherever you get your podcasts. I am Ryan Marshall. This is The Real Deal. I am here with Andrew Kasoria. We are signing off. Google his name. He's a great agent to work with. Find me if you need some help or have any questions. We'd love to chat about him on the show.
Thank you, Ryan.
Thank you for listening. If you liked what you just heard, be sure to subscribe to the podcast and be sure to visit bizradio.us to find hundreds of other engaging conversations, local events, and more.